Okay, we're beginning here 9 lines down on the top of Mem Hey Mud Aleph. The Gemara says, "Ktani." They are quoting a pasuk from Yechezkel, Perek Mem Vav, Pasuk Vav. The pasuk might be familiar to you because that's what we read for the Torah of Parshat Chodesh. Over here in the pasuk says, "Ubayom Chodesh, Parben Bekart Mimim, Sheshet Kvasim, Va'ayot Mimimiyu." So it quotes what seemingly is the korbanot for the Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, and there it says that there's one par, 6 kvasim, and 1 ayil. If you look in Parshat Pinchas, in the Musafim that are associated with Rosh Chodesh, the obvious problem that jumps out is that these aren't the korbanot that you would have expected for Rosh Chodesh. For Rosh Chodesh, we have Shnei Parim, Ayil Echad, and Shiva Kvasim. So the only thing that matches up is the Ayil, but the par is 1 par instead of 2, and the Kvasim are 6 instead of 7. And that's what the Gemara says over here. Par, Matam Adomar. Why does it tell us that there's only 1 par if really there should be 2 parim? The fish in Emar Betorah Parim by Parshat Pinchas, it tells us that on Rosh Chodesh you bring 2 parim leula, minayim shalom matzah, shnayim mivi echad. If you can't find 2 parim, how do we know that it's okay to bring 1 par? Tamalomar par. Shisha kvasim, or really sheshet kvasim is what we have in our pasuk. Matamalomar. Again, why is there 6 kvasim? The fish in Katu Betorah Shiva. The Torah is 7 that are written. Uminayim shalom matzah shiva yavi shisha. So that's what the pasuk is coming to teach you, that how do I know if you don't have 7 kvasim that you should bring 6 kvasim? Tamalomar shisha v'sheshet. Uminayim shalom matzah shisha yavi chamisha. How do I know also if you can't find 6, you bring 5? Chamisha yavi arba'a. If you can't find 5, you bring 4. Arba'a yavi shlosha. Can't find 4, you bring 3. Shlosha yavi shnayim. If you can't find 3, you bring 2. Afilu echad. And even if you only have 1 that you bring it. Tamalomar v'lekvasim. Asher tasig yado. And that's in the next pasuk, describes what seemed to be the minchat nisachim that come along with it. It says, ve'efa lapar, ve'efa la'ayil, yaseh mincha, v'la kvasim kasher tasig yado. And the kvasim, according to his capacity to pay, v'shemin hin le'efa. So asher tasig yado seems to be whatever it is that you can afford, that's what you should bring. Machar dechtiv hochi. After it already says that, v'shisha kvasim, or v'sheshit kvasim, is what we have in our pasuk, alamali. What do I need that for? If it tells you can even bring 1 or whatever you can afford, why do I need the number of 6? The Kamadef Shar the Hadurei Mahadrina. That comes to teach you that the more that we can do, even though it's a deficit from the proper number, that's still better. So you have a choice to get up to the full number of 7. You have a choice between 1 or 6. We're going to preference 6 over 1 because 6 is a nicer way to do it, even though it still doesn't fulfill the full obligation. And how do we know that they are me'akev each other? This is obviously difficult because we just learned above that the parim, elim, and kvasim are not me'akev each other. So how is it over here that we're saying that they are me'akev each other? So there are a number of approaches to deal with that. Rashi quotes one approach, and we're going to start with the Rabbeinu Gershom because it's a slightly more limited version of Rashi, which is that the Rabbeinu Gershom says that minayin shemakvim zetzeh, how do I know that they are ma'akev each other for whatever number it is that you come up with? It's not saying that they are ma'akev each other or that even the number is ma'akev. What it's saying is once you have a certain number of them, how do we know that it is ma'akev? So if you have 7 kvasim, they will be ma'akev, your capacity to get kapara or to do the korbanot, if you don't bring all 7 of them. And similarly, if you have 6, you have 5, you have 1, whatever it is that you have, that will be ma'akev. According to that, it sounds like just the number that you have is ma'akev. Not that the interplay between them is ma'akev. Rashi has a more expanded version of that, where he writes, Im yesh lehem parim shnayim ukvasim shiva, they have 2 parim and 7 kvasim, then yochlim lakriv zeh belo zeh. Once you have those numbers, you can't bring them without each other. In essence, whatever number it is that you have to then bring them together. Over here from Rashi, it sounds not only just the internal number, meaning that how many kvasim, how many parim, but even the kvasim and parim, the interplay between them are me'akev each other, not simply that the 6 are me'akev, all the kvasim, but also the parim, and also the other numbers of korbanot that you have. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says at the end, EU. That comes to teach you that it's me'akev. We know that the word havaya in a number of places means le'akev. Tosfot over here quotes Rashi's explanation. Then he brings an additional explanation, which is Inami Kamash Malan Ki Rabbonon de Pelagale de Rabbi Shimon b'Matnitin. And maybe it's coming to teach you that we pass like the Rabbanon, not like Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah said, if you can't afford the nisachim for the korban, don't bring the korban. So that means you have a choice between one par and its nisachim, or two parim, or three parim without their nisachim. Rabbi Shimon says you got to opt for the par and its nesach, because that's the proper way to bring it. On the other hand, the chachamim disagree, and they say you should maximize the number of parim and forget about the nisachim. And maybe that's what it means over here, me'akvim zeh. How do we know that the korbanot themselves, the number of korbanot makev each other, versus the nisachim, that's what the EU comes to teach you, that as many of the korbanot that you can bring, that is me'akev, or that is a priority over bringing the nisachim. So better to buy the full number of the korbanot, rather than to purchase the nisachim. And the Shita Mekubet said, and Ot Gimel brings something similar, which is, he quotes Rashi and says, "V'gam zeh lo nihira." Says, "V'nira da'ad kamar hocha de'makvim la'fuke mid'Rabbi Shimon." The Kamash Malana comes to teach you. Haitana de tovlo la'vi kvasim k'mod efshar. Better to bring as many kvasim as you can bring. V'lo yima'ita kvasim b'shvil nisachim, and you shouldn't diminish the number of kvasim you can bring in order to have nisachim available for the korbanot. The last possibility would be something we're going to see later in today's daf, which is after shechita. Once you've shechted the animal, how do we know they are me'akev each other? Meaning that shechita is a certain amount of a koveya for this korban or the korbanot that are being brought. And how do I know that if one of them was shechted and then the other one is lost, that we don't put the one that was shechted on the mizbeach? The ones that shechted, that's koveya, the number of animals that you have. And then if one of those animals goes missing, that is posel all the korbanot that you have there, because the number has been set by the shechita. Now the Gemara continues to quote from the psukim in Yechezkel. Here it's going back to Perek Memhei, Pasuk Yudchet, where it says, Ko amar Hashem Elokim, Barishon, Be'achad Lachodesh, Tikach Parben Bakar Tamim, V'chiteita Et HaMikdash. So the Pasuk is speaking about the Chodesh Rishon, Bayom Rishon. So that's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And it says in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you should take a Parben Bakar Tamim, V'chiteita Et HaMikdash. And through that, you will sprinkle or be mitaher the Mikdash. And then this description, the subsequent psukim, as to all the matnot dam that are done with this korban. And then two psukim later, it says, Barishon barbasar yom nachodesh yelechem apasach, chag shavuot yamim matzot yachel. So already starting on the 14th of the month, then you will have the korban apesach, that's the 14th of Nisan. And afterwards you'll have a 7-day holiday that includes the eating of the matzot. So it's clear here that we're speaking about Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And the question that the Gemara raises here is, chatat olahi. V'chiteita, the Gemara is taking to mean a chatat. Now here you're telling us that there's a par that's going on the Mizbeach on Rosh Chodesh that is a chatat. All we know in terms of the korbanot of Rosh Chodesh is, shnei parim, ayel echad, and shiva kvasim, be alot to Hashem, and then you have a sir ezim echad, the chatat. There is no par, the chatat, that is brought on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And therefore, the Gemara wants to understand, how could it be that it's a chatat? If it was an olah, I'd understand, because there is a par brought as an olah. But what I don't find is a case where there's a par brought as a chatat. Samar of Yochanan, Parsha Zo, Eliyahu Atid the Dorsha. It's one of a number of these statements here, which is that psukim here in Yechezkel seem to contradict those psukim that we find in the Torah. The question is, do we have a way to successfully reconcile them? Rabbi Yochanan says about this pasuk, we have to leave it for Eliyahu Anavi to explain it to us, because we don't understand it. Rav Ashi Amar, Miluim, Hikrivu Bimei Ezra, Kederach Shehikrivu Bimei Moshe. That they brought Miluim in the time of Ezra, like they did in the time of Moshe. So the Rashi takes this very literally, and says that this is a nevuah in Yechezkel about Bayit Sheni, not about the Bayit Shlishi, which it seems to be the context of all the nevuot over here, is about the third Beit HaMikdash. So Rashi says that this piece is a nevuah about the Bayit Sheni, and that in the time of Ezra, they're going to perform a miluim, like the miluim of the Mishkan that was done in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. And included in that was a korban that was brought as a chatat. Over there, it's an egel ben bakar, not a par, but at least within the same species, and you have a chatat that is associated with the miluim. And that's the way that Rashi reads it. If you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, he makes another suggestion, which is, Rav Ashi Amar, my kushia, miluim ikrivu b'mei Ezra, lechanukat abayit, kederech sheikrivu b'mei Moshe. Yes, they did bring the korbanot miluim in the time of Ezra, just like they did in the time of Moshe. Av hocha nami, so too over here, Hi, par di cheskel tzorch miluim hu latid lavo. This par that's being described here is about the bayit shlishi. So the Rabbeinu Gershom reads it as, yes, they did this in the time of Moshe. They repeated it again in the time of Ezra. That's the meaning of the terminology here in the Gemara. But that means that Yechezkel's statement is just for the Bayit Shlishi. What they did in the time of Moshe, did in the time of Ezra, they're going to do again in Bayit Shlishi. That includes a Miluim that has the Korban Par as a Chatat associated with it. Sheit Mekubetz in an Odala brings a third possibility, which is Miluim Ikribu Bimei Ezra. He says, Lav Dafko, that they brought these Korbanot to Miluim in the time of Ezra. That's not necessarily so accurate. Sharei, kol otana korbanot, voto binyan, alatid. The whole statement here in Yechezkel, and everything that's written here is about the future. Ella, im zachu Yisrael, had Yisrael merited, hayu makrivim otan bimei Ezra. They would have brought these korbanot in the time of Ezra. They would have brought these miluim, and that which is being described here in Yechezkel in the time of Ezra. But that wasn't the case, and since they were not miluim, they didn't bring them. But they will be brought in the Bayit Shlishi, that he brings from the Tosvot Chitzoniot, that was their view as what Ravashi's statement means over here, that the Miluim Ikrivu B'mei Ezra, Kederach Sheikrivu B'mei Moshe. Tosvot already over here points out some difficulty with the saying that these are the Miluim, one of which we already pointed out, that we're speaking about a par here, and the Miluim included an Ego Ben Bakar. The more problematic part of it is that the Pasuk over here in Yechezkel follows up, and says that lekach goyim idamachatat natan el mezuzat habayit vel arba pinot hazara lemizbeach vel mezuzat shar hachatzar pnimit. You have all these matnot dam that have no association or correlation with the matnot dam that we find in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. How can you claim that these are the same miluim as the miluim in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu? And then Tosfot quotes Rashi from his Perush in Yechezkel on this pasuk, where he says that the parachatat over here is a reference to the parachatat that's found back in Perek Mem Gimel, pasuk Yudtet, where there it also has something that is part of the Chanukat HaMizbeach. And in the Chanukat HaMizbeach, it says that you bring a par ben bakar lechatat. And there it tells also about matnot dam. They're not exactly the same as the ones that we have here, but similar enough to the point where Tosfot says, v'tzorich litchok ha-mikrash yushavim. You can push it, and you can figure out how to make the two psukim reconcile, even though they're not exactly alike. In the end, the Baal HaTos would say that they were not looking for an exact equation that says whatever they did in the time of Moshe, they did now, but a similar genre of chatat, Par Ben Bakar versus an Egel Ben Bakar with Matnot Dam. All those things make it or give us the feeling that it has the trappings of a Miluim. And therefore, even though it may not be exactly the same as that of the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, it still is a form of Miluim. And there is going to be a Miluim, Ilatid Lavo, similar to what happened either in the time of Moshe or also in the time of Ezra, depending on the explanations that we saw until now. Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a Braita that supports what seemingly is this difference of opinion between Rabbi Yochanan and Ravashi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Parsha Zo, Eliyahu Atid Lidorsha. Rabbi Yehuda says we're going to need Eliyahu in the future to help us understand this pasuk. Amarlo Rabbi Yossi, Miluim Ikrivu B'mei Ezra, Kederach Sheikrivu B'mei Moshe. And Rabbi Yossi has an opinion that's similar to that which we saw from Ravashi, which is that they had Miluim in the time of Ezra the way they had in the time of Moshe, and all the explanations we gave before would be applicable here to that which is being said by Rabbi Yossi, similar to what we said by Ravashi. Amarlo, Tanuach Datcha, Sheinachta Dati. And so Rabbi Yehuda says to Rabbi Yossi that you should have peace of mind, like you brought me peace of mind. You brought a solution to this problem, and now hearing your solution, I feel calmed and reconciled with that solution. And therefore, Hashem should bless you, that you should also have that same peace of mind. Now the Gemara quotes another pasuk from Yechezkel. It's not necessarily related to what the Gemara is speaking about here, but it has a similar problem, which is we have sukim here in Yechezkel that are soter, that contradict that which we see in the Torah. Over here they quote the pasuk from Perek Mem Dalet, pasuk Lamed Aleph, which also might be familiar to you because it's the Haftorah for Parshat Truma. And there the perek ends, Kol nevela utrefa mina of umina beima lo yochlu hakohanim. The kohanim can't eat them. And the Gemara asks about that. Hakohanim hu dolo yochlu. It's only the kohanim that can't eat it. Ha Yisrael achle. But if you were Yisrael, you could eat it in a vela and a treifa. Why is it uniquely associated with the kohanim that they can't eat in a vela and a treifa? And Rabbi Yochanan, Parsha Zo, Eliyahu Atid, Dorsha. Again, Rabbi Yochanan says that we'll have to wait around for Eliyahu Navi to come and reconcile this with that which we know from the Torah. Rabbeinu Amar, Kohanim, it's trichle. There is a reason why you'd have to specify Kohanim in particular. Since for them, Malika is permitted. Malika to Oaf in the Migdash, which technically is a Nevela, we still say that the Kohanim are permitted to eat the Malika to Oaf. Not necessarily saying that Malika to Oaf is the equivalent of Shechita for them, and therefore it's Matir the Gamre. Rather that Malika to Oaf, despite the fact that it's a Nevela, they do have permission to eat it. And you would have thought, Tishtari Nami Nevela Trefa. Once they have this concept that the problems of Nevela do not stop them in the Migdash, maybe we should give the broader credence to this idea that they're able to eat in Beit Lan Treifa in the service of Hashem. Kamash Valan, that's not the case. So it's trying to dispel the possibility of you extrapolating that which we know by oath to other items and saying the Kohanim may not eat Nevelot and Treifot. Now the Gemara goes and quotes a Pasuk Pam, Perk Mem Hei, Pasuk Chof, where it says, V'chein taseh b'shiva b'chodesh. We spoke about before the pasuk that spoke about Rishon b'echad l'chodesh on the first day of the first month on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And then the pasuk later says, V'chein taseh b'shiva b'chodesh mi'ish shogeh u'mipeti. So too, you'll do this on the seventh of the month. Those that have unintentionally made mistakes or been foolish, v'chibartem et habayit. And through that, you will bring a kapara to the bayit. The pasuk afterwards we read already before, which was Rishon b'basar l'chodesh about Chag HaPesach. Gemara wants to understand what does it mean v'chein taseh b'shiva b'chodesh. So Gemara says shiva. Am Rabbi Yochanan elu shiva shvatim shechatu. This is a reference to seven of the shvatim who sinned. V'af al pi she'ein ruba shel kahal. Despite the fact that they're not a majority of the population, they're still the majority of the shvatim. 7 out of 12, so it's a majority of shvatim, which will then indicate if something is done be shigigat maseh ayudei horat beitin, then they will bring a par helam dover shel tzibur. And that's what the reference is, according to this, in v'shiv'ah, which is 7 of the shvatim made a mistake. Chodesh, what is the chodesh mean over here? Im chidshu v'amru, if they now came up with some new chidush, some new idea, and said chelev mutar, that the beitin paskins that chelev is mutar, Mi'ish shoge umipeti melameid shein chayvin ela helam davar im shigiyat maseh. That helam davar, they made a mistake, the Beit Din paskin incorrectly, thinking that the chelev was mutar, and then shigiyat maseh. Those people who then followed the instruction of the Beit Din and ate it, al pi the Beit Din, that's a shigiyat maseh together with helam davar, which is the requirement or the prerequisite for bringing a parhalam davar shel tzibur. And that is what the suggestion is over here, that the pasuk v'chein taseh b'shiva b'chodesh, what do you do on the seventh of the month, what korban are you bringing, is a reference to a parhalam davar shel tzibur. Seems to be that there will be some psak halocha or some problematic psak. That's the peti, the foolish thing, that they said something or forgot something that shouldn't have been true. And then you have the ish shogeh. It's a reference to the person acting bishogeg based on that psak of Beit Din. Therefore, this is a reference to the parlam dover shel tzibur. The Bali of Tosafot are very bothered by this explanation of the Gemara. Tzarech liyashev shiyu otan matanot kotan aktuvim gavi parhba ura bivrikra v'yavshad ha'yashvo. Says if you try to compare the matanot dam that are associated with this korban and try to reconcile with the parlam dover shel tzibur, it just doesn't work out. Maybe the chen taseh means it's a broader comparison between them, and not that it's the exact same thing. It's a par shenisraf. It's a par that is burnt. It's a par that goes in lifnai v'lifnim. It's a chatat apnimit. But that's the only thing that connects between the two of them. Lo le'inyan matanot. But they don't have the same matanot dam. But davar teimu midach hakol l'shas l'amira pasuk b'zayin shvatim. Who pushed the Gemara to set up this pasuk about the seven shvatim? He says it's much easier, upshita, to krokoi hadichtiv del. It's going back, like Rashi says, on what was said before in Perek Mem Gimel, pasuk yudet. And then subsequent to that, it says that afterwards on Yom HaShini, you bring the following korbanot, and then they do this for 7 days. V'achar kach shivat yomim taseh seir chatat layom upar ben bakar, v'ayl minatzon t'mimim yasu. And that's what the reference to the Shiva B'chodesh over here is, the fact that earlier in Perek Mem Gimel, that consecration of the Mikdash, the Bayit Shlishi and the Mizbeach, for something where there's a prescription for 7 days. And that's what it means over here. Like Rashi said before, the par ben bakar here is a reference back to that par ben bakar in Perek Mem Gimel. And so too, the seventh of the month is a reference to the fact that you're going to continue to bring a par ben bakar for 7 days there. That's the explanation for that pasuk. And Tosfot is bothered by why the Gemara went this other direction to say that it was about the Shiva Shvatim and it's a parhalam davar shel tzibor, when the simpler explanation of the pasuk and the pshuto shel mikra is that it's a reference to those korbanot mentioned back in Perek Mem Gimel, which are part of the miluim, the consecration of the mikdash, the mizbeach that Yechezkel is foretelling in his prophecy here, referencing to the bayit shlishi. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Zeg's Gemara that's famous in the beginning of the Gemara of Shabbat. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Zachor Oto Yish Tov, to remember this individual favorably, V'chanina ben Chizkiyah Shemo, and his name is Chanina ben Chizkiyah Shemalehu. Had it not been for him, Nignas Sefer Yechezkel, they would have put Yechezkel into Geniza, Sheyud Varav Sotrim Divrei Torah, because there are numerous contradictions between Yechezkel and that which is found in the Torah. We've just indicated or noted a number of them in the daf today. Ma asa. So what did he do? Elah shloshmeot garvei shemen. Took 300 barrels of oil. And Rashi says over here for light at night, so he continued to learn at night. Yashav ba'aliyah v'dorsho. He sat there until he could figure out how to reconcile the psukim that are found in Yechezkel, that which we find in the Torah. And he was successful enough at doing it that Chazal decided not to put Yechezkel into Geniza, given the fact that we have ways to deal supposed contradiction. Tanabanan. So now the Gemara quotes a pasuk, going back to the pasuk that we started with before in Perek Mem Vav. We had quoted from pasuk Vav. The subsequent pasuk, which we had noted before, was pasuk Zayin, Beifala Par, Beifala Ayel, Yaseh Mincha, Blakvasim, Kashet Sigyado, Veshemen Hin, Laifa. And the Gemara says about this, Amar Rav Shimon, V'chi Mirat Parim Ve'ilim Achati, since when do the Parim and the Ilim bring the same size Mincha? We already know from Parshat Shlach that the Minchat Nisachim and the Nisachim that come with the Par and Ayel are very different. A Par brings Shalosh Yisaron of flour. A Par brings Shlosha Yisronim of Solet. And then a Chatziahin of Shemen and a Chatziahin of Yayin. On the other hand, the Elim only bring 2 Yisronim of flour that are mixed in with the Shlishitahin of Shemen and a Shlishitahin of Yayin. So how come in the Pasuk in Yechezkel there's no distinction between them? Just mentions that there's an Eifal of Par and an Eifa la'ayu. Now, as Tosafot points out, there's a more fundamental question, which is, what's the Eifa speaking about over here? Because an Eifa is equivalent to 3 sa'ah. And you're trying to produce 3 esronim over here for the par and 2 esronim for the ayo. So then what is an Eifa, which is 3 sa'ah, or 10 isaron, significantly bigger size? If you only need 3 isaron for the par, you have 70% more than you need of flour. And for the ayo, it's even more pronounced because you only need 2 isaron there. And here you have 10 isaron from the Eifa. You have 80% more than you need for the isolet. And so he quotes from Rashi's Perish on Yechezkel that the Eifa over there was the starting raw material. But then they sifted it down to get into solet to the finest of flour. And for the par, they took 3 sa'ah and whittled it down to 3 esronim. For the ayo, they took 3 sa'ah and whittled it down to 2 esronim that you need for the ayo. And that teaches you that if you can get to the finest flour of 3 esronim or 2 esronim that you need, that works. But if you can't do that, you can use coarser flour if you can't get flour that is that fine. And that's the difference between the 3 esronim that are produced for the par from the 3 sa'ah versus the 2 esronim that are produced for the ayo from the same 3 sa'ah, showing that the ayo had much finer flour. And despite the fact that it had much finer flour, the 3 isaron for the par, which were of a coarser flour, they're also good, and that works. And that would be the reason why they have the same measurement of an eifa. And then he asks about the shemen hin, which again is problematic. And as Tosfot says, that Rashi in Yechezkel explains, not that they were makriv the whole hin here, because that's not what you need. You need a chatzia hin or a lishita hin, depending if it's a par or an ayo. Rather, shnato tayu bahin. Rather, it was a measuring cup. The hin is not the amount of oil or wine, because the hin is 12 log. It's not a reference to this quantity, but rather a question about an indication of the measuring cup that's used in the Mikdash that had different measures along in it. And that's what it means. They brought the hin measure out the proper volume of oil that they needed in each case. And then the Bali Tosfot go on to say, the way that Rashi explains the oil, we could explain the dry goods as well. And say the third words, Eifa, also, are not a reference to the size Eifa, rather to the measuring unit in the Migdash of the Eifa, that also had breakdowns in it to give you different quantities. And that means that they used Eifa, they used the utensil. There was an Eifa Gdola and an Eifa Ktana that they used. So that's how Tosfot goes on to explain the Pasuk. But then he says, what's the Gemara's question about how come the power and the aisle have the same thing? Well, we gave all these great answers for why they both have an Eifa associated with them. Then what is the Gemara's question? The Tosfot says, the Gemara's question, given all that information, why did it use the exact same language? Why did it use the language of Eifa, Eifa, which indicates or seems to indicate that they are of the same size? And that's what Rabbi Shimon says over here. Is it really a singular measurement? Ela shimayu lahem parim mirubim. They have a lot of parim. Lo ayu nisachim. They didn't have sufficient nisachim to go along with those parim. Yubiu parachad unisachav. You give priority to bringing a par with its nisachim over other quantitative options, which include bringing more parim or more korbanot. Va'ayu krivu kulan below nisachim. Rather than bringing all the korbanot of the parim that were necessary, or all the other korbanot that are necessary, we want you to bring the nisachim with each one of them, and that's a priority over bringing additional korbanot. V'imayu lahem elim mirubim v'lo yalem eifatan. So why do you know if you have a large number of elim, but you did not have the nisachim that would go along with them, or the minchat nisachim that would go along with them? Yaviu ayal echat, then you only bring one ayal, v'eifato, and it's mincha that goes with it. V'lo yikrivu kulam v'lo eifot. Rather than have to bring all of the elim, without nisachim, without a minchat nisachim, better to bring one with the nesach and do it properly rather than bring in multiple animals where you can't supply or you can't afford the minchat nisachim that goes along with it. And this is the source for Rabbi Shimon's position that we saw in the Mishnah. For in essence, what Rabbi Shimon is saying is that the nisachim or the minchat nisachim associated with the korban is makev the korban. And therefore, it's better to have a korban with its nesach rather than have a korban without its nesach, or more korbanot without their nisachim associated with them. Okay, now we move on to the next Mishnah. Mishnah says, apar, vayelim, vakvasim, vaseir, emakvim et alechem. So it's clear here from the Mishnah that they are referencing to the korbanot that are brought in Shavuot. These are the korbanot that are found in Parshat Emor that we discussed in yesterday's daf, which is the laning for the first day of Sukkot, as well as the second day of Pesach, where it says, in Parshat Emor, Perchav Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Mimoshu Teichem Taviu Lechem Trufa, Shtaim, Shnei Esronim, Solotiena Chametz Te'afena, Bikrim Lashem. Those are the Shtei Lechem that are brought in Shavuot. We craft them ala Lechem. Along with the Lechem, you bring Shivat Kvasim Tmimim B'nei Shana, 7 Kvasim as an Ola, Par Ben Bekar Echad, 1 Par as an Ola, Ve'elim Shnaim, 2 Elim as an Ola, Iyu Ola Lashem, they will all be alot to Hashem, Umin Chatam Veniskehem, Yishei Riach Nichloach Lashem, Ve'asitem. In addition, you will bring a Sirizim Echad L'chatat, Ushnei Kvasim B'nei Shana, the Zevach Shlamim. So what the Mishnah is saying is that the Par, the Elim, and the Kvasim, Vaseir, Ein Makvim Et Alechem. They're not essential, they're not Makev, your ability to bring the Shtei Alechem, and vice versa. Lo'ei Alechem E'akvan. If you can't bring the Lechem, it doesn't stop you from bringing those olot. Those olot are independent of the lechem. Halechem, on the other hand, is me'akeved akvasim. It does affect the kvasim, which were the two shlamim that we spoke about in these psukim. There, the lechem is me'akev your ability to bring kvasim. Bein akvasim akvim et alechem. On the other hand, if you don't have kvasim, you do bring the lechem. Tivir Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva clearly sees the lechem as being the pivotal or central part of the korban that's brought here. Therefore, if you have the lechem, you're okay. If you don't have the lechem, you can't bring the kvasim that are associated with it because it is ma'akev those kvasim. I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas. Lo, that's not right. Kela kvasim makvim et alechem. It's the other way around. The kvasim prevents your ability to bring the lechem. Alechem enu ma'akev kvasim. And then if you don't have the lechem, it doesn't affect the kvasim. So he clearly views the kvasim as being the primary part of the korban and the lechem as the additional item that's brought along with them. Shukain, he brings evidence to this. Kishkain matzinu kishayu Yisrael ba'midbar mem shana. When Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar for the 40 years, kavu kvasim below lechem. They brought the shtei kvasim and they didn't bring the lechem. Afghan, so too, if a situation arises in the future, you can build pasim below lechem. Now, we have to understand from this part of the Mishnah, how does Benanos know the fact that in the Midbar they brought pasim without lechem? So Rashi over here writes that we know that they didn't bring it because they didn't have any lechem. Klomar, sharei, omer, shtei lechem, enim baim ela min haaretz. Because when it comes to the shtei lechem, the omer, they have to be brought from the produce of the land. Since they have to be brought from the produce of the land, we don't have the produce of the land in the Midbar, so it's impossible to bring them. So Rashi says that it's an impossibility that they were brought in the Midbar, and therefore they brought the kvasim without the lechem. That's his evidence. If you look in the Shita Mekubetzet, he quotes a Nisach Harina from Rashi, where he says that they had no lechem in the Midbar, elamun. The only thing they had was man, and they didn't even have lechem at all. So here Rashi says it was a deficit in the fact that it wasn't from Eretz Yisrael. But then Rashi's version that the Shittim Gubetza brings, the deficit was that they didn't have bread at all. They only had the man to work with. And that's the Baal Tosfot quotes that version of Rashi, and he says, Perish for contrast, Shalehem Elaman. Says Vekasha. He says that Mukach, we have Midrashim, that Umot Ulam were trading with them and bringing them Mine Machal. Says also Muchach, we know we have evidence of the fact that they had lechem upon him in the Midbar, and they brought the Minchat Omer, so they were doing all these korbanot in the Midbar, so how can you claim that it was impossible for the shtei lechem because of the fact that they only had the mon, or according to the other version of Rashi, which we'll see Tosfot then seems to be more inclined towards, is that it was from needed to be from Eretz Yisrael, and they don't have it. Rabbeinu Tam suggests that the reason that the shtei lechem are not included here is because it says by the shtei lechem, which is that parshia begins, Daber al bnei Yisrael v'matalem ki tovo el aretz, asher ani noten lechem u'ktzartem et ktzira, ve'hevetem et omer reishit ktzirachem el kohen. So there is this prerequisite of ki tovo el aretz, v'rabbi Akiva l'tamei, and Rabbi Akiva is the shitato, that ki tovo is lav dafka. Doesn't mean when you come in, but Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Shmuel, which is that you only after you have biyan yeshiva, I mean after you have entry into the land and then settlement in the land, do these mitzvot kick in? Miukasho. Since that's the case, then why are only the shtei lechem precluded? That's the header for the whole parshia. Even the korbanot should be excluded. So he gives two answers. He says v'yesh lechalek yishum the shtei lechem ikuri bikurim, because the shtei lechem are called bikurim, and just like bikurim are only brought once you enter into the aretz, so to the shtei lechem. Or because it says over there, that you have to bring it from Moshtechem, that you can't bring it from Chutz La'aretz, and therefore that's unique with the Shtei Lechem. Also doesn't affect the Omer, and therefore the Omer was able to be brought, as well as the other Korbanot were able to be brought. And so Tosfot says that it's a technical problem in terms of the Shtei Lechem, which is in the Midbar. Either they weren't in the Ki Tavo El Aretz, or the fact that even in Ki Tavo El Aretz, there are specific requirements over here that it be either after the point of kibush chiluk and settlement, or because it says Moshe Votechem, so there's a specific demand in the shtei lechem, they'd be from Eretz Yisrael and from nowhere else. So for that reason, Benana says that was the practice in the Midbar, and that practice should serve as a paradigm for other situations in which there's absence of lechem. Amar Rabbi Shimon, halacha kedivrei Benanas. Rabbi Shimon says, Benanas is right, aveinu tam kedvarav, but not because of his reasoning. Shekol ha'amor b'chumish pekudim karev b'midbar. Because any of the korbanot that are noted in Parshat Pinchas, they were brought in the Midbar. Kol Amor b'Torat Kohanim in Karev b'Midbar. Other than anything that was mentioned in Emor is not brought in the Midbar. Similarly here, it's only a reference or a narrow reference to that which is associated with Shavuot, not more broadly about korbanot, like on Yom HaKippurim, which is mentioned in Parshat Achrimot, and also mentioned in Parshat Pinchas. Rather, this is specifically or uniquely about Atzeret, about Shavuot. Mishabal Aretz, Karvu, Elu, Velu. Once they entered into the land, they brought both the Korbanot that were in Bamidbar, as well as the ones in Vayikra. Ipnei Ma'ani Omer, Yikruvu, Kvasim, Belo Lechem. So then, what's the reason that I say to you, if you have Kvasim and no bread, you bring the Kvasim? Meisha Kvasim, Matirim et Atzman. The Kvasim are matir themselves. Belo Lechem, Belo Kvasim. You can't bring Shtei Lechem without the Kvasim. Shein Lo Mi Yitirenu, because then there's no matir for the Shtei Lechem. The kvasim are matir themselves, as well as the lechem. So if the lechem is present, then the kvasim will be matir themselves and matir the lechem. If the lechem isn't there, the kvasim can still just be matir themselves. On the other hand, the shtei lechem by themselves are not matir themselves and are not matir anything else. And so therefore you're stuck in a bind. If you just have the shtei lechem, then it's necessary to have the shnei kvasim. And that's the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon's view that Ben Nanas is right here. Not for the reason about the Midbar, because in the Midbar they didn't bring anything in Parshat Emor, so you can't prove anything about that which or wasn't brought in Parshat Emor. Rather, reasoning behind why you would say that the Klasim are Makev the Lechem, the Lechem is not Makev the Klasim, because the Klasim have a Matir, and the Lechem doesn't have a Matir. Now, Tosfot over here just notes about the Mishnah. Why is Rabbi Shimon saying, Halacha Ben Nanas, Tema, Hilchata the Meshicha? Why do we have to pass an Halacha if it's not relevant today? Pesach Halacha is only about items that are relevant and have utility today. The fact that we pass like Ben Nanas is no relevance until we have a Bayit Shlishi. And the Gemara in numerous places says, Hilchata the Meshicha? If it's about the future, about something that is not relevant today, then we don't give Pesach Halacha. And so what's the point of Rabbi Shimon saying, Halacha Ben Nanas? So while Tosafot doesn't give any answer, there are those who want to suggest that as a nafkamina as to what we say in the Sukkim of the Korbanei Musaf for Shavuot, as to whether we have to include the Shtei Lechem or the Kvasim, or maybe both of them, that might depend on what your view is with regards to what is Makev and what is not Makev over here. So that would have some practical ramification, although it still seems far-fetched that that is the reason that he's paskening this way. And that leaves Tosafot's question open, which is, why are we paskin in Hilchata the Meshicha? In other places, Balei Tosafot indicate that maybe that Shita is only associated with Rav Yosef and not a general principle of the Gemara, as well as he points out that there was a view of the Rabbeinu Chaim that the question of Hilchata Meshicha is only applied to negative commandments and not positive commandments. And that is because the dinim of the Atid Lavo are only relevant to Ikvata de Meshicha. In Ikvata de Meshicha, people are not going to sin. So therefore, there's no reason to paskin halacha with regards to negative precepts. But when it comes to positive statements to know what to do, there it's still relevant, and therefore that principle is not invoked in this instance.
So the Gemara says, Tanrabanan, Vikravtem al Alechem. So the pasuk that introduces these additional korbanot says about these korbanot after speaking about the Shtei Alechem, Vikravtem al Alechem Shivat Kvasim Timimim B'nei Shana. The Gemara learns, Vikravtem Alechem Chuva al Alechem. That's an obligation to be brought along with the Lechem. Shivat Kvasim Timimim Afal Pi She'ein Lechem. The Gemara parses the Pasuk in a way that says, these are to be brought as an obligation with the Lechem. And then what seemingly is now the obligation, which is the subsequent words in the Pasuk, the Gemara makes it as if there is a period there. And a new sentence is beginning at that point where it says, Shivat Kvasim Tmimim, B'nei Shana, they're brought irrespective of whether you have the Lechem or not. So Tosfot indicates that this is driven by the different ways you could have formulated the Pasuk. For instance, had it written, Vikravtem Shivat Kvasim Alalechem, that would have been indicated that the Shivat Kvasim are correlated with the Alalechem. The fact that it brought the Kravtem Alalechem forward and then said the Shivat Kvasim Tmimim is an indication that they're separating between the two items. Or it could be that it could have said, Hikravtem Alechem Shiva Kvasim rather than Shivat Kvasim. So it does what claims it's the change in language that's precipitating this limut. Imgein Matam Alomar Alalechem. So then why did it say Alalechem, saying, seeming to indicate that these items are connected or correlated with the Lechem? Lamei Shalom Nitchayvu Bakvasim Kodem Shnitchayvu Belechem. That teach you not about whether these items are ma'akev each other, but rather it's to tell you the information that they both come into effect at the same time. And the kvasim, or the korbanot that are brought here, even though they could have been brought in the midbar, they only go effective once we go into Eretz Yisrael at the same time that the shtei lechem go effective. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon, that's the view of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Yechol Hein Kvasim Amorim Kan, Hein Kvasim Amorim Bechumish Pekudim. And over here it says you bring seven kvasim. And if you look in Parshat Pinchas with the Musafei Shavuot, over there it also says you bring, as part of the Korbanot, Parim Shnaim, Ayel Echad, and Shiva Kvasim. And so there are also Shviva Kvasim Lola over there. You would have thought maybe the Korbanot here and the Korbanot there are the same Korbanot. Amart, Kishata Magia, Eitzel Parim, when you go to the Parim, Beilim, Einan Heim, they don't have the same number. Elo Halalu Baim Biglal Atzman, Ba'alalu Balum Biglal Halechem. Those, the ones in Chumash Pekudim, those in Bamidbar, Parshat Pinchas, are an independent obligation, and they're required to be brought without any correlation with anything else. Whereas the Halalu, the ones that are found in Parshat Emor, are connected to the Lechem. Nimtza, Masha Amur Bechumash Pekudim, Karei Bamidbar. That teaches you that which was in Parshat Pinchas, in Sefer Bamidbar, was brought in the Midbar. Masha Amur B'Torat Konim, Lo Karei Bamidbar. That which is mentioned in Parshat Emor, was not brought in the Midbar. because of the fact that you need the Shtei Alechem to be brought in Eretz Yisrael, and the Shtei Alechem, if they're not there, then the other korbanot that are associated with it are not brought either. From the bright, it's not clear whether Rabbi Akiva's position is at odds with Rabbi Tarfon, or actually is just a different point, but not necessarily disagreeing with that which Rabbi Tarfon said. The Gemara says, "V'duma parim ve'elim lavin hu." Maybe the parim and elim are not the same korbanot, because over here in Parshat Emor, it says that you bring a par ben bakar achad and elim shnayim, whereas in the Musafim, it says that you bring shnei parim in one ayo. But there are at least the kvasim that are similar, ha-kvasim in uninu. But maybe the kvasim that say seven here and seven there are the same kvasim. It says, "V'dahani ishtanu hananami achrine." Just like the parim and elim are different, so too the kvasim have to be different. We're not going to say part of them are matched up or overlap with Chumash Pekudim, with Parshat Pinchas, and some of them don't. That doesn't make so much sense. Uparim ve'elim imay dishtanu. How do you know that the parim and elim are really different? Tilma achi kama rachmana. Maybe the Torah is telling you have a choice. Ibai par v'shnei elim likarev. If that's what you want to do, you can do it. Ibai shnei parim v'alechad likarev. You make the choice. You can pick whichever one you want to bring two of and whichever one you want to bring one of. But maybe that's not necessarily that they are not the same korban, but they are the same korban. It's just you get the choice of which way you want to present it. Where it says, "Midishtane sidran shmami na'achrine ninu." The fact that they're brought in a different order also indicates that there's something different. Here, we start out with the kvasim, then we move to a par and an ayo, versus in Chumash Pekudim, where it says par, ayo, and then kvasim. The fact that they're brought in a different order is already an indication that we're not dealing with the same korban, and therefore each one stands independent, even the kvasim, and then more obviously the parim and the elim are also separate. Now the Gemara says, "My time with Rabbi Akiva." What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Akiva's position in the Mishnah that the lechem is essential and the kvasim are not essential? Gamar iyu mitiena. He learns that exer shava of you and tiena. Over here in the psukim that are found in Parshat and more, it says, "Mimoshva techem tabiu lechem tnufa." Shtaim, shnei asurnim, solet tiyena, chametz teafena, bikurim lashem. There you have tiyena that is mentioned over here. And then you have by the shtei lechem, and if okoin otam alechem abikurim tnufa lifnei Hashem, al shnei akvasim kodesh iyu lashem lakoin. So Rabbi Akiva says, the iyu that's found in that pasuk, with regards to the tnufa, which includes both the kvasim and the lechem in it, which of the two is it referencing to? It says, go back up in the psukim, and you see the word tiyena is associated with the Shtei Lechem. And just like the Tiena up above was a reference to the Lechem being Me'akev, so to over here, the EU is also about the Lechem being Me'akev, and not the Kvasim. So Malahalan Lechem, Avkan Lechem. Just like before is a reference to the Lechem, so to over here, it's a reference to the Lechem. Uben Mananas, who disagrees and thinks that the Kvasim are the major component, not the Lechem, Gamar EU, EU. He learns that Xer Shavu EU, EU, from the Psukim by the Ola, and the Psukim by the Kvasim. Psukim by the Ola say, "Bikravtem alechem shivat kvasim tumimim b'nei shana, parve mekar achad ve'elim shtayim iiyu, Ola la'ashem, u'minchatam v'niskehem yisheriach nuchal la'ashem." And then he correlates that with the iiyu that's found by the tenufa of the lechem and the shlamim. Malalan kvasim, just like over there, it's a reference to the olot, but the olot that are comprised of also kvasim. Afkan kvasim, so to over here, it's a reference to the animals, to the kvasim, and not to the lechem. Un ben nanas nami nilef mitiyena. Why does he learn like Rabbi Akiva learns? Malalan lechem, avkan lechem. He says, dani miyu, miyu, ben dani miyu, mitiyena. He says, my gzer shava is better. I have two words that are identical versus your gzer shava that's using words that are not the same. My nafkamina. Why does it make a difference if the words are the same? Vatana debate Rabbi Shmuel. This is brought all over Shas. And we know the Tana Beishel, v'shava koen u'ba'a koen, by the tzarat abayit. And it's speaking about the Kohen going back and forth to the house and then going back and forth from the house. One time it says Vishava Kohen. One time it says Ba Kohen. Zehu Shiva, Zehu Bia. And the drusha there is that the Shiva and Bia are identical. And therefore, the 7 days that you have to wait by one also applies to the other. But you see there that they're comparing words of Shav and Ba and saying that there's a Gzereshava between them. It says, Hani Mila Echid Deleka Dedomile. That's true when you have no other option. But how about, hey, chadika de damile, mit de damile, yofina. There's something that we find that is more correlated or the same, then we're going to opt for that over picking something that's not the same or has a differentiated word. Rabbi Akiva nami lilif
iu mi iu. Why doesn't Rabbi Akiva learn the Gzeir Shavu the way that Ben Nanas does? He has a better Gzeir Shavu. The words are more identical. Says Danim Davar Shematana the Kohen. Davar Shematana the Kohen. He learns both items that are given to the Kohen, which is the Shtei Alechem, which are given to the Kohen. So we'd rather learn when we're talking about a pasuk that says the lechem abikurim and the shnei kvasim, which are items that are both matnot kuna, we'd rather learn that iu from the tiyena that's found by the shtei alechem, which is also a matana de kohenim. So to learn one from the other makes sense. Afuke hani dolot ninu, as opposed to the iu that's found in the pasuk that deals with the olot, where those are things that are kulo kalil lashem, which are not any gift to the Kohen and should not be included in the Gzeir Shava. And some suggest that they're actually arguing in the explanation of the Pasuk, which is the Pasuk says, Kodesh Iyu Lashem LaKohen. So that Kodesh Iyu, which has both the Shlamim and the Lechem in the Pasuk, and then says at the end, Kodesh Iyu Lashem LaKohen, it's not clear what the Iyu is referencing to. And they learn that from Lashem LaKohen. Rabbi Kiva Savar, Izu Davar Shukulo LaKohen, Rabbi Omer Zalechem, what is totally and entirely go to the Kohen, those are the Shtei Alechem, and therefore that's what it means, Kodesh Yud Hashem La Kohen. They're Kodesh Hashem for the Kohen, meaning this is something that's going to the Kohen. The only thing there in that pasuk is going to the Kohen fully is the Shtei Alechem, and therefore the Iyu, the Ikuv, is associated with the Shtei Alechem. Benanas Miktiv Kodesh Iyu La Kohen doesn't say they're going to be Kodesh for the Kohen. Kodesh Yud Hashem La Kohen Kdiv. What about the Hashem that's mentioned there? Ezu Dovar Shem Miksato Hashem U Miksato La Kohen. What's the item that is partially for Hashem and partially for the Kohen? Bimer, Elu Kvasim. Those are the Kvasim which are Shlamim there. And therefore, part of it goes to the Kohen, part of it goes to Kodesh Baruch Hu on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Kiva, Miktev Kodesh Yula Hashem Vila Kohen. Doesn't separate and say partly to Hashem, partly to the Kohen. Lashem La Kohen Ktiv. Says it's Kodesh for Hashem, and then it goes entirely to the Kohen. Kid Rav Huna, like Rav Huna taught us, Dama Rav Huna, Hashem the Kohen, that Hashem takes possession of it and he gives it to the Kohenim, or what is, in other words, is noted in other places in the Gemara, Mishukhan Kavoa Kazachu Kohenim, are beneficiaries of eating at the table of Hashem, that this is really what belongs to Hashem, and Hashem grants them the right to eat or participate in it, to join him at the table. And that's what it means, Mishukhan Kavoa Kazachu, and that's what Rav Huna is saying also over here. That's what Rabbi Akiva is interpreting the Pasuk. It's Hashem's. It is Hashem's, but the Kohenim are going to eat it. The Kohenim are eating it as guests or as emissaries of Hashem, and therefore it means that the Shtei Alechem, which are entirely for Hashem, La Kohen, are entirely to the Kohen, because Hashem has granted it to the Kohen. Now Rashi over here says that the source for Rav Huna is by Gezel Ager. By Gezel Ager, it says over there that Hashem grants it to the Kohanim to do what they want with the monies of Gezel Ager. Ba'al Tosafot show how our case here is very different from that case of Gezel Ager. Therefore he says the source of Rav Huna is here. This is actually where Rav Huna made his statement, and this is an original Rav Huna, not Rav Huna that we're quoting from somewhere else in Shas that's connected to Gezel Ager, like Rashi says, but rather this is the location in which Rav Huna said a statement with regards to the Shtei Alechem that are going to the Kohanim, that they're really coming from the Shulchan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're Hashem's, and being granted or given the right to the Kohanim in order to consume them. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the bottom of Mem Hei Umed Bet.